That little 25-20, that was a Winchester, I bet you. That's a nice little gun. That was a nice little gun.
A Democrat, a dog, and a mouse, and I come all the way with me.
So how did you get here, Marion, with all those things? I mean, you drive them all the way out here?
Drove them all the way up.
You had
three days and a half, I guess. But we started Sunday morning, and we got here Wednesday afternoon. And I was only 9 years old then.
Did you have horses and wagon?
A little team of ponies, cayuses, and a Democrat. You know.
Now, when you got to Edmonton, did you get there by train or what? Or?
Well, you see, my dad homesteaded on, down on the Sturgeon at what is Gibbons now.
My God.
You see, we come in 1900 from the east. I wasn't very old then. I don't remember anything about it. I was too young. We was there 7 years at Gibbons before we came up here.
So you follow the old landing trail all the way?
All the way, yes. It's the old landing trail all the way up. And we camped out. We had our grub box and our bedroll and laid under the wagon, and the mosquitoes by the millions. Put on gloves or mitts and a hat on and a piece of a mosquito net around your head and rolled in. Of course, either dad or Mr. Sleep stayed up on account of the stock in case you start to wonder, you know.
What would have been your maiden name then?
Lewis.
Lewis, okay.
Yeah. I was marrying Lewis.
Yeah.
Okay,
thank you.
Is it on?
Yeah, I just want to get it on there.
Oh, yes, my maiden name was Mary Lewis. My folks come up to keep the stagecoach. Okay, it was stayed with us on the surgeon too, given his life. Was there, they stayed with us 2 or 3 years there, and then we didn't have a place up here or feet for the horses and nothing, you know.
Your dad's name would have been what?
Pardon?
Your dad's name?
Thomas Lewis.
Mm-hmm. And he built the stocking house then at that
time?
The house.
Well, there was a man there. He traded some land at Gibbons for the buildings and the squatters, because the land wasn't surveyed in those days.
Oh, no.
We used a squatter, you see. It wasn't surveyed till 1909 or 1910, I think, where the land was surveyed.
Do you remember where you would have stopped in those 3 days, roughly, you know?
Yes, we stayed the first night at Lily Lake, and the second night, I think at Davies, the halfway house, as they call. That was like 25 miles from Gibbons to Davies Stopping House. And then from there, we come to Stony Creek. That was about 15 miles. You couldn't go any more 15 or 20 miles a day with the sheep and the cattle and everything, you see. And then the next day, Stony Creek. You know, we stopped at Johnny Short's. That would be a little bit south of Rochester. And then we made here the next day. We had dinner at $10 camp with it. Mark this year for the trail rides. He was down to it. And then we got here about 3 o'clock, I think, in the afternoon.
Now then, you say there was a place already up here. Did your dad add to that? Or do you?
Well, there was a man here, Bob Fontaine, his name was, and he had 4 barns, just low barns with sod roof or muskeg packed on the top, you know. They lived in the summertime. Each barn held 8 teams, and then there was a little shack and another shack for the freighters, like for the freighters to camp in, you see. He just did it for the freighters, you see. And then when we come, well, the stagecoach there.
Tell me, what was the stagecoach built like, Marion? Do you remember? Was it closed in, or was it
no
open?
No, it was just an Democrat.
Just Democrat, oh yeah.
Democrat, yeah. You see. They had 2 to start with, and then got up to 3.
Because you see, one of the things I'd like to mention, you wouldn't know her, but she was 16 at the time when she came through in 1912 by stagecoach, was my mother-in-law, and she remembers staying at the Lewis and Stocking.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh.
So you see, this is why it was particularly interesting for me. You see?
Mm-hmm.
She was being young like that. The stagecoach drivers were chiding her, you know, about not being married and stuff.
Sure, no, I can't. Little Albert there, little Albert Kennedy, about so high.
He was one of the drivers.
Yeah, he was one of the drivers. Yes, his dad was the owner of the stagecoach and all the horses and the wagons and everything. He had about 36 horses that night. Well, they had three teams, you see, on the last 2 years, and they changed teams. Like, there was always two teams at our place all the time. You see, and they come from Athabasca and change, and then go to Halfway House, you see, and then come back the next day, change again. On the
I see. Yeah, they meet, eh? Halfway, would they?
No. The stagecoach that was here drove from the Halfway House to Athabasca.
Yeah.
And then there was another set drove from Halfway to the Edmonton.
Oh, yeah.
You see, we did it that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's two outfits, you see. So we got a lot of horses, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, there were quite a lot. Lots of, you never knew in them days how many you'd have, you know. There's no connection or to notify you or anything. You always have to be prepared and have enough stuff on hand to feed maybe 6 or maybe 20.
Oh, that many?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, lots of times we had 25.
Another thing I was going to ask you, Marion, if you would remember it, or you and Percy. Now, I don't know the year, but I tracked it down in the city, and when they put the first power plant in Athabasca, they were supposedly to have rolled that whole boiler out here with horses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's 2 or 3 boilers that was rolled through. Some that went away down. First boiler that come went down to Port Vermilion in the north. And that was the name of Lawrence. Okay. And his wife was a school teacher. She was the first teacher in the north.
But isn't that something, Ali? They claim they rolled them and pulled them the horses. Rolled butter. Yeah.
The biggest one had 14 teams on. The largest boiler that was rolled up.
Yeah.
They had them in front, they had them on each side, and they had them at the back.
Yeah.
To hold back the way downhill.
Down. Yeah. Good, that's what I like to hear.
But, I wish we'd have had a camera in them days.
Oh.
It would have been wonderful.
So, like, where did the men actually stay? Did you have a special place for them, other than your home link, or just the freighters when they stayed overnight?
Well, they had quite a long truck. It's still up there. It's a long shack, like two steps of building, or I don't know, they must have been 25 feet, 40 feet, I guess, long.
And they would bunk in there?
They bunked in there, the freighters did, yes. But we didn't. Our place was a noon place, more or less.
Yeah.
Didn't anyone, you had odd ones that had come and stay overnight, but not too often.
Do you ever remember Lawrence Rye?
Oh, let me see. You know Lawrence Rye all my life?
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. He is quite a boy.
Yeah. He's still living.
Yeah, you betcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I talked to him 3 years ago.
Is that so?
Yeah. He still had the Clydesdale Inn.
Oh, yes. Well, they homesteaded on Sunnyside. I don't remember his parents, but my dad never knew them. Yeah.
When the RCMP, they would ride through with horses too, eh?
Oh, yes, they stopped. We used to have them all the time, see. I know those fellows that was lost way up in the north. Was it 3 of them? You must have read the story. What was their name? They all stayed with us, and they told us they'd never come back. They lost their lives up there.
Yeah. Well, now what you go on, you go a couple of bears up with you.
In the Democrat, yes, it was quite a menagerie, really. It was, we had our dead, and then we had 2 little cub bears, and another cat was born. The day before we left, he was too weak to walk, so Dad made a little coop for the bears and the calf at the back of the Democrats, and we had them too. Well, there was a fellow, Jack Rice, his name was. He was an old freighter, and he come down and he had these 2 cub bears, and he got to our place on a sturgeon, and he didn't know what to do with them, so we were going to take them to the zoo or something. Anyway, he asked Dad to keep them until he made arrangements. That was the plan, anyhow. So that in the meantime, we come up here for Dad fetch these big bears, cub bears was along with us.
So how many people would there have been in this area that at that time when you came in 1907?
It was us and the Whiteleys, that was all.
My gosh. And where did they live, the Whiteleys?
Right here. This was their place.
Yeah, I see.
They kind of kept a stopping house too. Tired of it. I guess the women folks didn't care for the cooking part and the meals and things, so. The stagecoach man wanted another place where we have feed. Half the time there was no feed, he said, for his horses. So.
What would you remember about prices, Mary? Would there have been, you know, what would they have charged? Do you remember any of the prices?
Well, they wouldn't remember the meals, so all we charged for a meal was 35 cents.
Yeah.
And they had soup if they wished.
Yeah.
They had meat and potatoes and a vegetable, and there's pie and pudding. Whichever they wanted.
For
35
cents.
And a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Mostly tea.
Yeah.
And $1 for overnight. If you stayed overnight, charge them $1.
That's for horse and man?
No, that was just for supper, bed, and breakfast.
I see, yeah.
And they charged $1 a night for the horses if they had hay and oats.
So now, like when a stagecoach came and say it landed at your place at noon hour, you would feed the passengers too, eh?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's what I said. You never knew how many you were going to have to feed.
Yeah.
So we always had to be stuff cooked ahead, and there was no store to go and get anything. Everything had to be cooked in the house. For supplies, Dad went to Edmonton with the team and the double box, wagon or sleigh, whichever time he had, and go to the.
So how long would that take him when he'd make a trip like that?
Well, he could make it in 2 days from here to Edmonton. 2 days back. And he always spent a day or a day and a half in the city, you know, getting his stuff and everything.
You know, it's just tremendous. And 1907, and then you would have met Percy about what year then?
1914, I guess, when
you
came in, yeah.
Yeah. So, how did you come here then, like in 14? Did you go overseas after that, or?
I went overseas after 3 years. Yeah.
Well, would you come in on the train then?
Yeah, we came in on the train. Come from Chilliwack, BC.
What would that have cost you on the train at that time? Can you remember? I know it's tough, but that just, for comparison of prices, you know, today it's just fantastic.
Well, the return trip to Edmonton and back was only $5.65, I think I remember right.
Yeah, but I don't know.
So you came in 14, and where did you file on? Where did you? What place did you buy then?
Fairbank, Homestead,
right at Fairbank.
Yeah. Well, yes, there wasn't too many homestead taken up.
So it was still $10 those days too.
Yeah. $10. But we had no. Our idea was when we left Vancouver and Chilliwack was to go to Peace River. But then when we got here, that one, then we found, you know, there was no roads to get up there. So we just stayed right here. We stayed a long time too, so I'm not sorry. We had good health and everything. So.
Percy, what I was going to ask you, who was the first storekeeper here, or where was the store the first time?
Well, here in the yard here. Little wee log place.
Yeah.
Whiteley's house.
What year was that?
Oh, I don't know anything. No, that was in 1914.
And it was here?
It was here,
yeah. Do you remember, Marion?
No, they had kind of a little store. I think they kept a little bit of stuff on hand, like for the freighters and things, going through. Used to go to Edmonton and get supplies, you know.
Yeah. It wasn't really a store, as you know. They always had flour or sugar.
Yeah.
And
just basic stuff. Yeah.
So I bought some lamb in 1914.
Yeah. So what did you have for motive power then? Was you horses Percy, or did you have oxen, or?
Well, when we first came here, we didn't have anything except an axe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had horses, steam horses. And then we had a team auction. My dad had a team auction.
Well, that's when you fellas were overseas.
Yes, wasn't it? We joined up there. He got a team of horses out of the auction. Yeah.
Something that always interested me too, like, because we did it a little bit in Peace River when I was a boy, and that was to take the trees down. And did you do that with horses too, like we did?
Yeah. We'd, any big roots, like, we'd clean them off with a ton of rubble and chop them, and get up as high as you could with a big tree, pull it over with the,
yeah,
with the horses, you say. Slow process, you better believe it.
So the train had come through, well, I don't know, I think it was 12, wasn't it?
Yes. They used to come as far as Toronto in 12. Mm-hmm. And then they unloaded there, just like the same when all those reindeers to the north, you know, they mm-hmm. came as far as Toronto on the train, and then they loaded them in sleighs, and the bucks, they left. They had 5 bucks.
My gosh, I see.
Reindeers, no, they were beautiful. Their horns were all just like velvet.
It
was the first things that stood in Art's big barn up home, was them bucks. It was just in the midst of being built, you know, it wasn't really finished. But they stood in there, they got in there. They stayed there all the night.
How far did they take them up north, do you remember? Or how far they were supposed to go, or must have been
quite a ways. It took them quite a ways.
Lapland.
They were Laplanders.
They would come down with them, I think.
Yeah, well, they come from Greenland.
You see, they'd never been here. That's what they tried to give the punch up really to the Indians and Eskimo in this country.
I don't know. I think they had 3 sleigh loads of the females. They weren't very deep, you know. They lost some on the way, I think.
Yeah. So what year did you folks get married?
1925,
August 10th. So, like, you was full time overseas, were you? 1914 and on?
No, I went in 16 till 19. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was wounded up the passion there. Mud.
Better place.
Yeah, it was. Huh. Well, I don't know why this one would be too interested for him. That was the year 25 when this highway was put through, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This would have been it right here.
Yeah, right in front, right where it is now.
That'd be horses and slips and professionals.
That's all horses and all that.
Well, there was no big machinery then.
No.
And the cook was right up there that was running the camp, you see, he made our wedding cake for
us. Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, we was pretty well supplied. We had 2 wedding cakes. Bob and Granny Gibbons made us one too, so we had 2 wedding cakes.
But I helped drive a lot of piles in these bridges. There were bridges every mile, it seems like, in those days.
How did they put them in then, Percy? You know, the piles?
Just set them up and pounded them. One horse. I had the one horse.
Yeah.
If you pull this big heavy weight up with the rope, you see?
Yeah.
The horse would. And then you'd go along the highway, 50 yards, maybe along the ropeway. And then there was a slip link there, you see, you just pull like, and this hammer would drop down, and I'd have to turn the horse, make a return trip back here, you'd get about 5 or 6 bangs an hour. It'd take you all day to put in 2 piles, if you can imagine it. Now the thing trip hammered, and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's the way this road was built.
So how many would you say offhand, like they were using all the time in slips and professionals and stuff like that? They must have had a fair crew, eh?
Oh yeah, there was probably a dozen wagons, you know, with loose boxes of the cord. They'd have to be loaded with a hand, you see.
Yeah.
Then when you come to unload, you just lift up the side of the wagon box, you see, and drop out. And then I run a disc for one too, for one, leveling off the little float, disc it a little bit, off the float.
What would they have paid those days? Do you remember, Percy?
Not very much. I forget just what way you see down there. Maybe a couple of dollars a day or so, something
yeah.
like that. But I've worked out here for a dollar a day.
Yeah.
10 hours a day, a dollar.
Years ago, all they got for a team and man and it was $5 a day. And that was a few years later.
When you were both here now, there must have been Indians traveling back and forth more so
yeah,
those days than
yeah.
today, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, they were on the road all the time, especially in the summer, they'd make out to
Lakes and Town.
Lakes and Town.
The pilgrimage.
You know, they'd
yeah,
come
the pilgrimage,
down here for
yeah.
a week. Coming down, you know, from the north, and they take them several weeks to go back again. They spent all summer on the road.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I can remember the Indians going through when we lived on the Sturgeon there, you know, on the old homestead. When we were all white-headed. It was Lucy and I, and two of my cousins were there, generally always up on the Sunday. I always remember this Sunday, two or three of these Indian wagons came along. We was playing up little ways across the road, like the road went right by, from here to that highway, from our door. We was playing up in the yard and had these Indians coming along and we heard them, they were clapping their hands and laughing. And we took off and the mother and them always said, well, don't stay around any, you never know, they like kids, little white kids. So these Indians were up standing, wah, wah, me wasin, me wasin, me wasin. Boy, did we hightail it to the house. Okay. I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
We were only little favorites.
Yeah.
Things like that will stay in your mind, and yet today you can forget things so easily.
Yeah, that's a problem I have right now. I think it's the older things we remember and the later things we don't.
Yeah.
To me, at least, I find that.
Well, I think it's all right.
Yeah.
Don't seem to register the same in your mind.
No. No. You wouldn't perchance remember what, say, the stagecoach fare was just out of interest, would you?
No. About $18, I think. $18 or $20.
Yeah.
I always remember the first car that come over the trail. A fellow by the name of Jack Kidd. He run a kind of a, say it, a coach or a bus sort of affair, just with a car, you know. He could carry people. Anybody would have to ask and want to get him in a hurry. Well, it right up with him. But I think he charged about $25 a piece.
You don't remember what year that would have been, eh? When he first
attempted
that.
Well, I was getting a lot about 14, 13, 14?
15. So he
or
must
15
have
maybe.
Had quite an old car too, eh?
Oh yeah, if I forget the name of the car, it had all kind of brass looking stuff all over. It was a kind of fancy car in them days. But they were always getting stuck, cars was, and Art used to be always going and pulling cars out of mud holes.
They would have still been using an awful lot of sculls on the Athabasca River then too, wouldn't they?
Oh yes.
You
know, yeah, I know when we used to go and watch them load and watch the boats come in on the river, you know, when I went to school at Athabasca, I never had much schooling, very little, and I had to go away from home for what bit of schooling I got, and I ended up at Athabasca.
Must have seen quite a change in there.
Oh, goodness, yes. He wasn't much down the basket.
Percy, when the store was finished here, then they would have moved it into Perivale.
No,
no.
I built it right at the corner there, the same corner. The new big store there. Have you noticed the little shack right there, opposite the school? Where, who was it?
Stewart's.
Stewart Weston.
Oh, yeah.
On this side of the road.
Yeah.
Where that shack was and all this.
Yeah.
It was right in the corner of this quarter.
Perfect.
And then they moved it from there to the railroad, right in front of where the store is now, but on the railroad property.
Yeah.
On the railroad property.
And then that was there for quite a few years, but then when Art Lewis got the town site surveyed, then it had to be moved onto the railroad property. You see, that was moved then back off the road there. Exactly where it is now. Yes.
So, like the discussion we'd had before here about Lewiston and then named Perryville, how did that come about?
Well, tell you more on that, I guess.
Well, when the railroad come through and started to carry the mail to Athabasca, Dad applied for the post office. And we had the first post office. You see, in Perrydale here, that was Lewiston Post Office, you see. And I forget how long. Then there was an election, I don't know, 2 years or 3 years after we had the post office. Dad was a postmaster and I was assistant director. And there was an election and it changed hands. I forget whether the Liberals in then or the
Conservative,
I think. Well, the Whiteys were conservative, very strong conservatives, and they wrote in and wanted it, and wanted the name changing, and the government just did it. Dad never bothered, he didn't want it called Lewiston anyway. When the railroaders come in, he said, well, you were the first settler in here and you've done more than anybody else, and so I think it should be called Lewiston. That was the railroad papers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it got its name, you see. Dad gave them two or three names, but they didn't pick them. They still called it Lewiston, you see, and I guess that annoyed the Whiteys. That's the only thing that I could think.
Yeah.
We never had anything. We always seen one another, and I've always been good friends was with the girls.
Yeah.
So that's just how it happened, just like that, just a little bit of malice,
yeah,
you might say.
Yeah, right, yeah.
That's all. So then they got the post office and then they built the store.
Mm-hmm. So when did you move on to this place?
In 1919.
1919, yeah.
You bought it from the Whiteys, didn't you?
Yeah.
1919.
What would you have paid for the land then, Percy? That's always an interesting...
$2,500 or something like that, yeah.
Four. There's a few buildings.
Yeah. I should have had all these dates down, you know, but anyway. Is that thing still going?
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Well, I remember when the school opened, they had a great time to get enough pupils. You know, they have to have eight, I believe. And they had a great time to rake up the eight. Lucy went, and I said, no. And two rain boys, and Edith, Lewis.
That would have been Fred and
Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Annie.
Yeah.
And Edith.
Those are the Benham girls.
Well, they come first. And Johnson, he come in soon in that year, I think.
Johnson.
Yeah, and Kathleen.
Yeah.
Went. They got rigged up eight anyway to open the schools.
And who would have, did you remember the name of the first school teacher?
Miss Howlett.
Miss Howlett.
Yeah. And she boarded with us at home.
Young?
No. She was a woman, I guess, in her 40s.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she was a good teacher. She didn't think much of the kids. I think she'd been a teacher to taught older pupils, you know. She was very fond of Fred, though. Fred, she says, if they were all like Fred, she says, it would be a pleasure. They weren't all. He had a wonderful memory, that guy. Fred.
What was the game like around here then? First, I mean, in those days, it must have been good, eh?
Oh, yeah, good. Well, it was Of course, we got a lot of moose now because they didn't protect you.
Yeah, right. But
there,
I mean,
there was a lot, plenty of moose and deer.
Because as I remembered as a child myself, you know, in the Peace River country, that there was no such thing as getting a hunting license and stuff like that. You know, in those days, they didn't frown on you for taking a moose or anything like that. And I just wondered what it was like.
Well,
here.
I think the game license at that time was.
I was asking you there, with Percy, like the and Marion, the water tower was near the rapids, eh?
Yeah,
for the steamer.
Yeah, a couple of miles north.
And when you came from BC, now you came by train, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from Chilliwack to Edmonton, eh? And from there to Perryville.
Yeah.
You were telling me about your timber wolf there.
Well, that was in 14, where we used to do a little bit of trapping, my brother and I. I got up really early one morning to look the traps that were set three, 4 days. And there was all these forms I could see on the lake. And as he got the light, well, there were 16 timber wolves on there. And every once in a while, one would nip the other on the tail, you see, and they had only, it was glare ice, except that night there had been a quarter of an inch of snow, just a skitter.
Yeah.
And when this one wolf would bite the other, then they'd take off, you see, and that crack the whip. They're all after this one, you see. I wish I'd have had a movie then, Dave.
Yeah.
Well, this one that was in the lead, that was running from the others, you see, he turned right, and the others would shoot past, and it would throw that snow up in the air, 20 feet, you know, just like a shower. If we'd had movies in those days, or cavalry, you know, something to two of them, you see. But that was something, you know, I'm telling you, to see them 15 other ones after the odd one, and when, you see, he'd make a quick turn and they wouldn't know him. So just this little piece of snow on the top. But that's the most I ever saw after that. When we cut hay on the meadow, you'd often see one or two in the stomach. Never any. Well, I know that's the only time I ever saw a pack like that in my life. Yeah.
And
I
was going to ask you, like, what most did you trap then? You know, what would you get most
of? Oh, well, in the, we'd trap some muskrats, you know, but some skunks, a few coyotes, lots of weasel. Yeah.
Was there any fox around?
Well, there was a few, a few fox, but they were pretty hard to get away with. Well, there was an odd, you know, silver fox going around. But we weren't what you'd call professional trappers, but we used to make the odd dollar. It was the odd dollar, too, but I've shown dozens of muskrats, 10 cents, that's all we got. If you got 12 cents, they called that a bank rat, a big, dark, black one almost. And coyotes, $2, $2 and a half, I think. But then that $2 and a half went as far as this. $20.
What was the name of this little creek here?
Sandy Creek.
Sandy Creek, yeah.
Yeah, that's in there.
Do you ever have the feeling, Percy, that it was a maybe an Indian encampment place at one time, because I heard you found them.
But this, well, there's been lots of, they all had to cross right here at the house, Sandy Creek. Mm-hmm. And if the water was high, well, lots of times their wagon box would float off the wagon, you know, and they'd end up in the bushes down there.
Mm-hmm.
But just out here in the Jack Mine, there's all kinds of graves from weekends. And the little crosses they put with a couple of spruce things, you know, but they've all rotting off, you know.
So,
and up east here a little bit, I can show you on the reef, there's about 25 Indians, they told me. They all died with the smallpox, and they're all buried just up on that reef there.
Very good.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. There was lots of, lots of, it's the only road they had coming out.
Yeah. You found Hudson Bay Axe here, did you?
Yeah,
where at?
Well, he had right in front of Andrew's house on the, just in the field. Wow, one of those little ones.
Right? Yeah.
Have you seen it?
One of those trading ones. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Little small. Yeah. Tommy walked these cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did they, like the trail, it, where did it go to get to Athabasca?
Well, the ridge road is up above the land there on the mm-hmm. high ridge, you see, that was up here. Mm-hmm. But in the winter, they would come down here, mm-hmm. right up the center of this field here, you see, mm-hmm. and then cross the Fontenot River up there near Woolworth, the mm-hmm. old bridge there.
Yeah.
And then they'd go on the other side of the river, you see, up to Minooki, all of them.
That must have been quite a road.
And then when you come to Minook, where the highway is today on the, well, that is the old trail going from Minook,
is it?
What is on the highway today? But then we need to stay on the high land, you see.
Yeah. So this wasn't your first quarter here, was it?
No,
no,
not my homestead, no.
No.
I bought this with a soldier grant when I came back from the First World War. And I lived here ever since 1919.
Where was your first quarter here, people in prison?
Well, it's south of Art Lewis, next to Lewis's, on the old trail. My grandson has got it now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Grand Brad's got it.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I know we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems to be getting colder too.
Yeah.
I like to have a few in here if you want.
Do you feel chilly?
Pardon?
Do you feel chilly?
Okay, I'll turn that.
So your mail and too, Marion, would come by stagecoach, eh? The first part. The mail would come by stagecoach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when we first come up here, we used to get it, and it's like the mail came to the halfway house, that was Ames.
Mm-hmm.
And it was straight east of Clyde,
mm-hmm.
about 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff, the overnight stuff. The mail used to come there, so
mm-hmm.
we moved up the post office.
Yeah.
The mail would let you know. Oh, yeah. Post office then went about 1915, 16. There, our yard used to be full on mail days.
I'll bet.
You know, teams and horses and wagons and ox teams and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one time Bricker every quarter was taken up around here, and there was people on them.
Yeah, it didn't matter whether it was Mustang or anything,
I
you know.
Yeah.
It before the war started, every quarter was taken up. And what a mixture. You go up to get the mail, you know, every week up there. As she said, there was every kind of vehicle you can think of. Stone boats and wagons. No cars. I don't think there was any cars.
Well, I was in the Johnson. They used to come with his ox team.
No.
And Denham, he had an ox team. He used to come with an ox team.
And Moston, they had an ox team.
Did they have ox? Yeah, he did.
Sure. And Paul Johnson. And all.
When did magnets come here?
Oh, they come about
16.
Because I think they had oxen, didn't they?
No.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think they had oxen. I wouldn't be sure.
Mm-hmm.
The fellow that lived there, though, Marston, he had oxen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you remember Shea?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where would he have come?
What is? He must have come. Yeah, well, probably 1919 or something like that. Yeah.
So the best year memory, like here, like there would be people that I would remember. There would be the Benhams, yourself, the Lewises.
Yeah.
And,
on the Springlers, the Rustics, and the Hornets. Now they were all here in the early settlers, you see.
Perryville.
Well, I don't remember, Marion, because what had happened, I think they left, you know, because after I did, I joined the Army, if you remember.
Yeah.
And I think they must have been here about a year or so after, I think. Because we came here, see, actually we came to Minook here in 34, stayed there 9 months till Dad got this place up in 35.
Yeah.
So.
It's funny, you know, how man forget these dates, you know.
You betcha.
And I hate to say it, now a person come at a certain time because it could be wrong to you.
Well, I figure when it gets to be that long ago, a person can be forgiven for being out of years, you know, really. Yeah. When you think about it. I was going to ask you another question. I'd heard a rumor, maybe you remember that, but you remember where Paul DeBernick lived?
Yeah.
That pothole there.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the story that there was a locomotive went in there? Steam locomotive?
No. Yeah, I've seen mine myself on the side there.
Yeah.
They rolled down the bank.
Yeah.
It was going in.
Not
into the lake.
No.
No, no, no.
But it did go over there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Down in the bank.
I've seen carriages and everything lying on the bank.
Right.
You see, you can watch that thing. It was all corduroys, you know, the big heavy trees.
Mm-hmm.
And you could stand and you'd wonder how could every boxcar or coach that went over, you could see the trail go down and they come off that tie and up, and it was just like going over the waves, by golly.
Oh.
And it got so high there, you know, quite a kick there one day, soft. And, and the whole thing, locomotive and the two or three
cars. There's quite a few cars when I drove it.
And I can see them yet laying on the bank there, on this east side of the bank.
Well,
they had a pally other way, they would have rolled into the...
Wasn't there one man lost his life there?
Well, that was years after when, when they were hauling sand here.
Was it?
The caboose and that tipped over and he drowned in the caboose. Now I didn't really know, but that wasn't... Yes.
So they had built that all with horses too, eh? That railroad?
Oh, yes.
Oh, everything, yes, yes.
And they had a lot of horses. And there was a couple of teams or three teams. All they did was haul supplies in, you know, to these camps all the time. I can't remember their names now. There was a couple of Scotchmen. You know, they had these separate horses. Beautiful.
Oh, English,
and,
yeah.
You know, they were beautiful. One man used to stop at our place, and I got caught overnight and didn't get away back. You know, we'd go on load here and then we'd come to stay at our place. He was the darndest man. He'd go to bed and he'd go to sleep, and he'd sing. And he'd get up, that man would. He'd get up, dress himself, go out, harness his horses up, and come back to sleep.
Yeah.
Funny, I can't think his name.
Real night walker.
But now we come here, them trees down there on the old farm, the gravel, right where they're pouring the bricks and that there.
Yeah.
The cooks would hang their meat all up on there, great big, and high, they'd be 50, 60 feet up.
Well, then,
there wouldn't be no flyers up there.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I know McCrimmon's camp here, well, they had a pole right out in the yard, in the field over here.
Yeah.
It was up about 60 feet.
Yeah.
And there was a fellow who on Art's place, right, on the Waterhouse place across here. He looked after, he had cattle, and that was Dave, Bill Dave. He was the owner of the cattle, but this even sulfur and christened him.
Yeah.
You've never heard such a man swear in all your born days. All they called him sulfur.
Yeah.
And he used to butcher, you know, everyone they wanted meat.
Really, my father-in-law did all the cooking on that line.
He did, eh?
The B&B game, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a real cook.
Wow.
Did he cook with McCrimmon?
He must have.
You know?
I don't know. I made a terrible mistake. Now I've been trying to find it. He wrote it all down to me.
Oh.
And I've been spending the last couple of weeks in the old trunks now trying to get out. And he worked all that. But he trucked all through this land.
Well, there was McCrimmon's camp here, and then up past the water tank up here was Wellman's camp. Oh, well, what was the guy's name south? I don't know. There was three different camps. I think McCrimmon was down around Trotman doing that, and then when he moved from there, he came up here. One thing, and he was the same contractor his dad worked under on the low-level bridge.
It's surprising,
isn't it?
Just trying to think, that would have been in what, 1903 or something like that when that railroad came across the level. They came down through the ravine.
Yes, they come down through the ravine. Oh, I think it was before that, Johnny.
Yeah, it could be.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
It'd be about 91 or 2,
I think. Yeah, that's right.
Dad, I think, worked up there 2 summers on the railroad. I don't know. One of the sons was living. I don't know whether he's still living.
Your first community hall, when was it put up here?
That was 1919, I think. That was right behind where the Agatha Church is.
What was in there?
Right there, right on the fence, right behind where the church
is. Yeah?
Yeah.
And that's where the community hall was?
Yeah.
The logs?
Logs, yeah. Logs were cut up here in the valley up here. And then we built the second one, you know, what got burnt down. And I think the first one we sold that to someone.
I think somebody got the log. Whether they moved it or whether they just pulled it down.
Oh, I think they just took it down log for log. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We
were having
good times that old log.
Yes.
Log.
Yeah, that was built right up in the railroad fence there, right behind the Agatha Church.
But then years it was wet.
Oh.
In the early days, you know, that, and right up in Arts Field there, just below where the old cow barn is there, they had to corduroy that to get through with the loads of stuff. There's that much water, you know.
Every lake was just to the brim, you know. If you got one rain, well, that had to be overflow.
Yeah.
Everything was just running.
All them guys used to come, teams coming over, and mother used to make a lot of butter. Well, we have to make everything in them days, you know. Oh my God, you got any buttermilk, Mrs. Lewis? So mother kept a 3-gallon crock out on the porch, like. We'd come, they'd stop the team and come in and get a drink of buttermilk and go
on. When did you first become acquainted with Lawrence Rye? He was freighting through here too.
Oh, I knew him before we even left the Sturgeon in 19... Well, Dad knew him right from the time he just began.
Yeah.
And my uncle was a Joe Oliver.
So the rains, when will Dave come in?
1911, didn't they? Yeah,
they come in here before the railroad.
Yeah, they come in 1911. Ten or 11.
11, I guess. Yeah, because they were a couple of years down at Gibbons.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were there too, eh?
For a couple of years, just so they come from the east later. Yeah. My uncle. Just a few miles from Gibbons. And they lived just a mile south of Gibbons. On a rented place they had there for a couple of years. And then they took the homestead and kind of moved up.
Yeah, well, you remember that homestead was just here, by the course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same one the school was on, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the same one, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I was trying to think that
like when they put that railroad through, then they must have been like working ahead of the rail sometimes, wouldn't they? You know, actually.
Well, you know, they'd have to get the grade in.
Yeah, like they'd get the grade in, and then the rail would come and the ties and stuff like that. Yeah. These guys would be surveying and then building the grade.
Excitement when we were that old train whistle the first year or two. No, bad, eh? Wouldn't that be something?
Something
sure was. Mm-hmm. So, wish it was a good weather prophet, you know. We could sit here and you could tell us it's going to rain and on the other different hollers sound. Pass here every day, you know, twice a day. Mm-hmm. We had good service here for a while, up and down from Edmonton. Turn fair one day, but when it was going to rain, you'd hear it would sound holler, you know, the old whistle.
Well,
maybe
going the first time, it was 3 days a week it'd come up. You see, come up one day and went back the next year because it didn't travel very fast.
Yeah.
The day they came up, they thought, apparently they was really a busy place, and last year, you know, after we got through and the homesteaders all got in, there was a regular crowd down there every mail day to get the mail, you know. The downtown, you see lots. I used to go down and get the mail sack quite often on horseback out of the vestry because it'd only be about one sack.
Yeah. Well, we've got quite a few old photographs in the early times. I remember that. I'd have to look them up.
Yeah, I'd sure like to see them sometime. Really,
yeah.
I know I got one of the halls somewhere taken. A picnic one or two
something. The old lot one?
Yeah, the old
lot. So, about when was the first church you've been in?
I don't know. We used to have a minister come in 1914 even from Westlock. I had to come from Westlock, you can see. And in the winter they'd come just as good too with a cutter, you know, and we'd keep them overnight, you know. To sit in the cutter all the way.
Yeah, is that something?
From Westlock, you know. Gee, maybe
Foundation. Was that
long
Tom Brown? Yeah. But 6'2", boy, he's a tall guy, quite the character. He smoked. He smoked matches, man.
Yes.
He was the 90s man. He'd empty a box of matches. He'd strike a match, and then he'd say something. He'd go out, and he'd strike another one.
He just matches.
Yeah, just matches. Save the back of that. Well.
So they'd hold that in the log house, hadn't they?
We've got pictures. We've got pictures to show you 20, 30 people there.
Oh, they're obvious to be 30 or more to come to church.
Quite a drive for him, eh?
But you know, sitting in an open little open cutter from Westmont. Quite a few hours. Boy, they were really bundled up.
Well, I bet you.
Quite a few different ones. Chapman, he got killed. He got shot. Actually, he went duck hunting or something. I guess climbing through the fence or something. Gone cocked or something. He was on the fence. And there was a Mr. McMichael.
Oh, yeah, there was quite a number over the years.
Would the police then have been the Northwest Motor? Or would they have been the RCMP by then?
No, they were, well, I think when we first came here, weren't they in the Alberta, like the Mounted Police was starting more or less from Adamaska across the river this year, at least after. But it was the Northwest, what they call it.
Yeah.
The Northwest. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't call it the Oscar Mill Theater.
No, it'd be a Northwest Monument.
Yeah.
Well, Wilson was. Remember Wilson with his tall cap? Wilson was one, and Heacock was another kind. There were two different.
Yes, Wilson was the Alberta.
I think so.
Police, whatever it was. And Heacock was the
RCMP.
Royal North.
I know there was two different.
So, like, back in that time, okay, when they put the store down there now, like you said, in the railroad area.
Yeah.
Would that have been the only building in there at that time, beside the station?
Yeah.
That's all.
So, do you remember who might have been the first, let's say, resident that came in there that wasn't a storekeeper or anything like that, but I knew just somebody that moved in there?
On the town side?
Yeah.
Who would you say on the first one? When they built the...
Well, when they moved the store over, Nesbitt took it over when they moved it over onto the lounge.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Davy Hay had that.
Well, yes, Davy Hay had it, and Nesbitt run it for
him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he had the first lot, I think, opened up like the first lot.
Mm-hmm. And then Severson's came in after the school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah.
And then Ned Pratt, I think, or Pratt's.
Well, yeah. They had a house there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The garage, you see?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yes, Ned, they all used to... Well, we had a butcher shop here, didn't we? And we had the restaurant. We run the restaurant for 3 or 4 years. 3 years, I guess. And Ned would do, you could get your camera fixed, film developing.
When would the grain elevator have come, do you remember? When they put that up?
The depth of the air
drone, they all... Sorry, yeah, because, you know, like it would be naturally, it'd have to be after the railroad.
After the railroad.
Well, it wasn't really an elevator. We had what we call bins. It was just a low...
That's first, eh?
That was the first, you see? Yes. Yeah. It wasn't very high, but...
I mean, it wasn't from the lab. It was cultivated and there was grain and stuff before, so it must have been getting on. Was it there when you come back from the war?
Which?
The bins.
Yeah. No, we built them, I guess, a year after we came back there. Probably about
19 or 1920.
Somewhere
along there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What year would the Covetousness come in? Do you remember
that at all? Well, yeah, Charlie Covetousness. When Charlie came in?
Oh, it must have been about
1920. 20, I guess. 20.
Springers come in the railroad was running then, and you know there was no station or no nothing. They were dumped off, I think, down there at the siding, like as they called it, at 2 o'clock in the morning. But it looked out, and Springer had been up and filed on his homestead, and he knew where we lived, so he'd come up there. And they lived in the freight shack, as we called it, for, I think most of that summer.
Yeah, very much.
And they come up early in the spring, and they were there. He got a shack built, and the house built on his own place.
It must have been an awful lot of hardships those days, too, though, eh? You know what you think of it.
Well, you had to make out the best you could. I mean, you couldn't run to the store or anywhere, you know. Doctor even, I mean, the nearest one was out of Alaska. You'd have to get up there if you needed him, or you'd have to get word to him if he come down here.
He would travel, eh?
Oh, that's something you've got to hand it to him. They were just like the ministers come from Westlaw. They'd come from Athabasca in a cutter or anything. It's wonderful, them old doctors. Mm-hmm. They had practically no hope of getting their money. No. Nobody had any money by the way. That's why I think these doctors today, they're foolish. If they want to go back and collect their own, well, they wouldn't collect one quarter of their stuff. They're getting cash now for Medicare stuff, and if they want to charge more, well, that's all they would is charge it. They'd never get it. Mm-hmm. No, they're sitting pretty if they don't do it. Yeah. It's what the old people do.
Pioneers.
Yeah.
When
Lucy was so sick, when a doctor O'Brien was down at the Basque, an Irishman, Dr. O'Brien, who came down and
said,
pulled it through. But you ask any doctors today if not here to come to the house for a living.
No.
You can die first and then drive down here.
Of course, everything's changed.